Yes, hallelujah. God, you are good. You are good, Father. You are good to speak to us, Father. We listen to you. We listen to you, Father. We love hearing your voice. We pay attention to your voice, Father. We hear what you are saying to us. We worship you for what you have said tonight. We thank you. We rehearse and remember what it is that you said so we do not lose your word. For you said that if my word abide in you and you abide in my word, that's that rhema, that prophetic word, not just the written word, yes, but the prophetic word also. If it abides in you, then you'll ask what ye will. And it shall be given unto thee. Whoo, what a promise. Glory to God. Yes, all we have to do is listen. Hold on to what God is saying. Let it burn in our hearts. Let us not let go of it. Then we will ask. Then you have great confidence in asking. Now, that being said, how many of you have let the word abide in you tonight? All right, what did he say? Come on, raise your hand. Yes. I, what about the eye? Open eye, something new in our vision, new vision. Therefore, now this is how I apply that scripture. If my word abide in you, and you abide in my word, then you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done unto thee. The word that came, your eye will be open. Slap your hand on your eyes. In the name of Jesus, I claim that word. Open my eye, Father. Cause me to see new things in the Spirit. Cause me to see answers, Father. Cause me to see what I'm doing wrong. Show me what I'm doing wrong, Father, so I can change it. Thank you, Father. I hold on to your word. Whew. What else did he say? He was opening up the ears. What about the ears? We're going to hear in a new way. How many of you need to hear in a new way? All right, put your hands on those dull ears. Come on. By faith, remember, in the name of Jesus Christ, I apply the word of the Lord that you spoke tonight, Father. I apply it to my ears. Open my ears now. Open my ears to hear. Cause my natural hearing to be sharp. Cause my natural eardrum to be well-tuned. Cause the anvil and the stirrup and the internal workings of the ear to be healthy. And cause my spiritual ears to open in Jesus' name. Whoo! Thank you, Lord. What else did you hear, Robert? We're going to fly with him. Do you know when I was sitting here praying, I had just said to the Lord, Father, I want to fly. And then comes this word that we were going to fly with him. How many of you want to fly with him? All right, come on, flyers, let's get to your feet. This is a big deal. This is a huge deal to the king. He gave us a promise. We are going to fly. Ho, tell the Lord, tell him you want to fly. Come on. Based on the word he has said, we would fly with him. That means that, Father, in the name of Jesus, remove every weight from our ankles. Remove every weight from our heart. Old trauma, Father. Remove old trauma so our hearts can soar again. Worship again. Rise up into the heavenlies again. Father, cause us to fly. Fly, fly like an eagle. Whew, thank you, Jesus. We believe your word. Please be seated. Someone else, tell me what you see. Eileen. He was going to change the name and nature of Anchorage. Whoo! What does that mean to you? Pardon? no longer a dust bowl. He'll change the name when he opens the well. What else? The newspapers are going to change because of what's happening. Instead of reporting on the crime rate, they're going to report on the glory, the healings. Well, that tells me there's going to be healings, right? You have to have healings for the newspaper to report on. Now, newspapers don't normally report when you take a week to get over a flu. That I can tell you it's not going to hit the front page of the newspapers. But if you are suddenly healed of cancer in a moment, or growths fall off you, or blind eyes open, that's newsworthy. We're talking about some big stuff here. What else did you hear? Yes. People are going to float up to... Oh, float up to the north. Yes, the gatherings, they're going to gather up here. So we don't have to go outside to get our food. Someone else. Okay, we're going to pray. Oh, let me look over my notes. Thank you, Jackster. I will break open the dumb ear to hear me. Whoa. You will see me more fully. I want to see the Lord more fully. Boy, I really want to see the Lord more fully. You will be filled with my glory. Here's another thing he said. I am causing you to turn toward me, and you will see me, for I am stretching your capacity. Okay, that's something we need to pray about. I need a stretched capacity. Sometimes I feel like I'm full, and I'm thankful to feel that way, but I always want more. Have you noticed that? You always want more? That means we need our capacity to handle the glory and the revelation of God to stretch. So everyone who needs to be stretched and become elastic, get to your feet. We're going to stretch. Come on, we're going to stretch. Reach up and stretch. Father, you said you were going to stretch our capacity. Right now, Father, stretch us. Stretch us. Reach down. Stretch our hearts. Stretch our minds. Stretch our infilling. Stretch our belly, Father. Stretch our understanding. Stretch us to receive more of you. And then, Father, fill us again and again and again. In Jesus' name, I want to encourage you to pray over what was spoken tonight. If my word abides in you, and you abide, remain steadfast, hold steady to, don't let go of my word, then you will ask what ye will, and it shall be given unto thee. Our offering baskets, thank you, Jackster, are open. I want you to take your liberty to come forward and give your offering. If you don't want to give an offering, we're okay with that. You and Jesus, between you and the King, just freely come and give. Thank you very much.
How sweet the presence is. Seems like it's been a while since I've seen you all. Seems like it's been a while since I've seen family. When I was standing over here, I just had my eyes closed and then I just started seeing this coin, and it was a shiny coin. It's a fairly big coin. And I just seen a hand just kind of flip it up in the air and came down and flipped it over on his arm. You know how we do, we flip a coin to see by chance. I saw it landed on heads. Then he flipped it up and flipped it over and it came to heads. Just kept on seeing it. It kept on landing on heads. Kept on landing on heads. And it's like I saw a person just kind of off over in the side, just frustrated, and they were kind of doing that same thing, and they're just frustrated over what was happening. And it's like I saw the person come up to the front and just lift their hands and surrender. Then I saw that coin flip again, and it landed on heads. And I heard the Lord say, when you come to me, it's not by chance. When you come to me, it won't be by chance. Because I say yes and amen. And it's like I was walking, I was worshiping, and I didn't even realize that I was walking around with these heavy weights on. And it's like Eleanor started prophesying about flying, and all of a sudden I just felt light. You know, and when we come into the presence of the Lord, it's so good to be in His presence. It's so good to experience His presence. My eyes were being open a bit before you were prophesying that, but the flight took place when the word of the Lord came. And you know what? We're getting ready. Our hearts are prepared to hear the word of the Lord. More of the word of the Lord. My wife and I, we like to go to the Moravian Church sometimes here in Anchorage and go and worship with our brothers and sisters over there. And so we went, and this man got up at the pulpit, and he just lifted up his hand and started saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I, you know, he said so many other things, but that's what I remember was the breakthrough that came at the name of Jesus. And my wife grabbed a hold of me, and she says, and I said, that hurts a little bit. She grabbed a hold of me and said, that's the sound. That's the sound. And I know that my wife is a seeker for the sound of His voice. And that sound was coming through Pastor Tim Sergey, who's speaking here tonight. It was a powerful sound. Pastor Tim, he's the pastor of House of Prayer, the Moravian Church in Wasilla. And he's from where a lot of my family is from, in western Alaska. He's from the area of Togiak and Alaganuk. And we are so excited, Pastor, to have you here with us at Kingdom Alliance, because God has deposited something very special in you. What can be more special than Jesus, the one who lives in us? Please come.
Amen. Shall we stand? Just worship you, Lord. Jesus, we just praise your name. Jesus, 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 speak to us, O God. Speak to us, O Lord. Open the eyes of our understanding, unplug our ears, soften our hearts, and make pliable our necks, O God, in Jesus' name, precious Lord, in the body of Christ. We desire you, Lord God. We want more of you, Lord. We do not want, Lord God, anything of this world. We do not want anything of the flesh. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we break the chains of this world and the flesh in Jesus' name away from us right now, that we may focus upon your voice this evening. Precious Lord, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Kuyana, Kuyana, Gayon, Kuyana, Jesus, Kuyana, Kuyana, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Orabashiki basuria basa, rabasuria masukurianda rasa, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We praise you. Hallelujah. Wonderful God. Wonderful Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm here in this place. I'm so glad the presence of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Rashikima Suryamanda. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabashukuria Mandarasa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we want only you. We want only you. We do not want any part of the flesh, oh, God. We desire you, Lord God. We want you. Speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Haramashuri amanda. Horiabashikisarianda. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Woo! My goodness, it's so good to be here. So good to be in the presence of God's people. So good to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. I got to start preaching, you guys. Thank you, Lord. We could spend all evening and it wouldn't be a waste of time. It wouldn't be a waste of time to worship in the presence of God. Oh, praise God. Expect the Lord to touch you. I was saying, Lord, open our eyes. We need to see. Unplug our ears. Soften our hearts. Make pliable our stiff necks. Why talk about stiff-necked people? You know, stiffen your neck and try to move it. Stubborn. And you know what God's word calls stiff-necked people stubborn, it's idolatry. 1 Samuel 15, I think it's the 23rd chapter. That's what it speaks about. That stubbornness, like idolatry. Amen. Rebellion is as witchcraft. Amen. Okay, that's not my message. Luke 8, 5 to 15 talks about the sower and the field. Who's the field? I am. You are. You're the field. God sow, God gives seed right into the field. And I'm not going to be, this is not my message. However, I wanted to make it clear what one part of the field is like. The wayside. What's the wayside? Huh? The pathway. What is there any significance that comes to your heart, to your mind? Pathway is a place where people walk, right? It's a pathway. Like right through here is a pathway. And lots of people go through this pathway. Ever since you were born, people have come in and out of your life. And they have developed within you a belief system. A belief system that even God has a hard time. The seed cannot penetrate that belief system that's in your life. Oh. We have behaviors, we have attitudes. You know, that's how come God tells us to fast and pray. The reason why we need to fast and pray is because we have got to make that part of us yield to the Spirit of God. When it yields to the Spirit of God, then you're able to function in the things of God. Oh, praise God. People walk back and forth in and out of your life so many times that you have become the way you are. And God has a hard time touching you because of the way you are. Amen? Now, the Word of God tells us that whenever the Spirit of God touches you, there's only a certain part of your life that you allow him to touch. Does God want only a part of you? He wants all of you. All of you. Fasting and praying makes sure that all of you is going to be given to the Lord. What happens when you're fasting and praying? Your body starts complaining. Your body complains major. There's things that you want to do. There's things that you want to eat. But if you deny what your flesh wants and allow the Spirit of God to start moving you, oh my, there's so much that God is going to dump into your life. Oh, he's going to drop it like that and you, whoa. That's how your eyes open and your ears are unplugged and your heart's being softened by your willingness to sacrifice your desires to do God's will. Amen? Amen. Praise God. That's not my message. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Say, I am loved. By God. Imagine that. Can you imagine that? What love is like? God says in his word, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. and love your neighbor in as I have loved you. I don't know where we all stand in the area of love. God only works through love. God only works through love. Because he loves you, he pours himself into you. Because he loves you, he disciplines you. Because he loves you, he's not going to allow you to get away with besetting sins very long. He's going to break you, and he may crush you, but it's because he loves you. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. And when he's come, John 16, verse 8 says, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. The ruler of this world is judged. Now, it's a blessing when we receive the blessing of the conviction of sin. Yes. Don't put your hackles up when God starts speaking to you and you get offended. Don't put your hackles up. Because it's not my fault. It's God. It's God. Okay? You take that issue up with God. We prayed, God, open my eyes, unplug my ears, soften my heart, make pliable my neck, so that when God's blessing of conviction comes, conviction of sin in my life, conviction of sin, that I may repent of it. And when I repent of it and am converted, then my sins are washed away, then my sins are blotted out, and refreshing comes from the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit to all who are walking outside of the will of God is a blessing. When you're reading, talking to someone, or listening to the Word of God, God wants us to abide in Jesus. Jesus. Oh, my. Submit to his will and obey his teaching. He never condemns us. And John 17, 18 reads like this. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they may also be sanctified by the truth. Sanctified means what? It means set apart and dedicated to. There's two parts to it. We're set apart from the world and we're dedicated to God. And that's the, you just, I sometimes had different types of cups. Big cups, little cups, fat cups, skinny cups, all kinds of cups. Okay? And I take one of those cups and I set it aside. This cup is sanctified. I sanctify this cup. I've set it apart from the rest. And the only thing that it's going to be used for is coffee. Okay? I've set it apart. I've sanctified it for coffee. Not for tea. Not for water. Not for soda. Not for lemon juice. Coffee. That's my coffee cup. Don't touch it. We use these cups for anything and everything, okay? We can drink water, juice, coffee, tea, whatever you want to put into the cup. That's what it can be used for. Until it's sanctified, then it's used for one purpose. your life is sanctified. You believe in Jesus. You serve Jesus. You've surrendered your life to Jesus. Jesus is the only thing, only one that has you. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, you cannot use your vessel in any way, shape, or form. Only in Jesus. Only Jesus. Oh. Praise God. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may also be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. In the body of Christ, it is of the utmost importance that we are one. There is a movement in the world led by the Pope to unify the denominations of the world, including Islam. Is it talking about that unity? We are going to be united, but not in denominations, because every denomination is man-made. Every denomination was born because of a hunger by a certain group of people that got sick and tired of the way their former denomination was, so they branched out from that. And that's how denominations were born. They started out with God. However, the ones that were filled with the Spirit of God and began a new denomination, they died. And their children, they don't have the same hunger, even though they have some of it. And then their children, pretty soon, there's such a disconnect that they don't feel anything, and so laws are made. That's how denominations are born. This is not what Jesus is talking about here. That they may be one as we are one is talking about the body of Christ that believes in Jesus. It doesn't matter where you come from. You might be Roman Catholic or Orthodox or whatever you are. In this, the body of Christ that believes in Jesus, that's filled with the Spirit of God. Yes. That's what he's talking about here. Amen? Amen? Praise God. The Lord has told me that it's because of our not being united, the devil has wreaked havoc in the body of Christ. The devil's been effective, fracturing, dividing, and keeping separate the body of Christ to the point of slumber, ritual, ineffectiveness, deception, and apostasy. Many have become like the religious Pharisees and the Sadducees of Jesus' time. They cannot stand people that are free like we were this evening. Be able to shout, Jesus! Be able to dance before God. Be able to just recognize the Spirit of God wherever you go. In whomever you see. Because the Spirit of God in you, if you are totally surrendered, you will recognize someone that has the same Spirit. There's a connection there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. The nation of Israel was born by God. Amen. Out of slavery, out of the world, idolatry, and Satanism. God chose Abraham and separated him from the world and covenanted with him, and a nation of God was born. The picture of how Abraham was separated from the world is the same picture for the nation of Israel's deliverance through Moses. And the same picture how Jesus came to save us from our sin and the world. That picture is all the way throughout history, all the way throughout the examples in the scripture of how Jesus would come, of how Jesus would live, about how Jesus would sacrifice himself. You know, the shortest lived people, God's people, weren't pastors or teachers or evangelists, but they were the apostles and the prophets. Shortest lived. Because they would speak things that did not make the people happy. People don't want to change. And many of us really are satisfied the way we are. And therefore, we need the blessing of the conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. We need to wake up. We need to see. The nation of Israel was born by God. Amen. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That was just an introduction. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant or unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. I want to stop there for a moment just to bring something across. It's good to be merry. It's good. This type of worship where we can dance before God is good. Amen. But too much of the body of Christ is dependent upon that. With no change in their lives. We dance and shout and praise because Jesus has changed us. And we are God's people that is going forward, not backward. There's a term in the military called a war of attrition. A war of attrition. We're fighting. But in our fighting, we seem like we're winning. When we're not winning, we're going backwards. We have a fight. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's so much God wants to download upon the body. Praise God. God's is always on time for everything. He's never late. He's never early. He's always right on time. So the message that you're receiving is a now word. It's a now word for us in the body of Christ to wake us up, to make us be people that will start doing the right things in order for us in the body of Christ to become towards, work towards becoming one and getting up whenever God calls you. You know, I used, up until maybe 3 or 4 months ago, there'd be times when I'd have sleepless nights. Or, you know, I never really think about the things of God. I've been pastoring for years and years, and my relationship with God was like, I'll study for the sermon that I'm going to preach, and yet I want to go out and maybe watch a movie. Maybe I want to go visit a friend or do something else and not bring God with me. But that's not what God is talking about in our relationship with Him. He does not want you to leave Him in church or leave Him in a building. He wants you to take Him wherever you go, whatever you do, whomever you meet, every moment, every second of the day, your time you wake up in the morning till the time you fall asleep. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse 8, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples and were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. This is the now word. Whatever happened to the nation of Israel collectively as a whole is what is happening in the body of Christ individually, corporately, universally. The physical problems that the nation of Israel has experienced up to this day right here, right now. Look at the nation of Israel. What are they experiencing? Why are they experiencing what they've been experiencing? Look at the body of Christ. Where is it now as a whole? Why is it not the child of God that Jesus designed us to be? So let's look at the example that they have brought. You're living in one of three places. You're living in Egypt. You're living in the wilderness. Or you're living in the promised land. In one of those three places is where you're living, according to this word. Okay? Kind of, I want you to focus. Don't get lost. Okay? Because I believe God has a word for you. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, is your guide, there's no shortcuts. Every single step is important. And I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit started, well, the Holy Spirit always was in me, but I've not always recognized him. And I've always, so many times, I've done things so selfishly. I did what I wanted to do and live the way that I wanted to live and call myself a Christian. And that's how much of the body of Christ is like right here. The reason why the nation of Israel is experiencing what they're going through right now, very small nation with the whole world going against them, is because of the compromises, their idolatry. Oh. And the same way with us in the body of Christ. The reason why we are so ineffective is because many of us are in Egypt. We're slaves to sin. Slaves. In Egypt, the nation of Israel are slaves. Slaves to the world. Slaves to Egypt. Slaves. Many of us have addictions. Many of us have behaviors. Many of us have unforgiveness or whatever slave, whatever you're a slave to. Whatever you're chained to. That's only about as far as you can grow in the things of God. Just like a dog that is on a leash cannot go beyond that leash. The child of God that is chained to sin cannot go beyond the chain. Cannot. And the only way that the child of God that is in Egypt is going to be delivered if it's you start crying and getting sick and tired of your sin. You get sick and tired of your sin. You need to recognize within your life things that are a hindrance in your relationship with God, whatever they might be. Get rid of them. When you pray, ask God, God, is there something in my life that is a hindrance in my relationship with you or in my relationship with my brothers and sisters in Christ or my relationship to the world whom you died for? Oh. Bless me, Lord, with a conviction of sin. In Hebrews 13 and verse 4, it says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Because God's love for his children, God has to discipline when we stray and are living in disobedience. For our spiritual development to become more like him, he steps on toes. And some are going to become offended. You know, in Matthew 25:32, God says that in the last days he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And the rift between the sheep and the goats is going to become wider and wider. I mean, I'm seeing it already. Boy, the children of God getting filled with God. Filled with God. Then on the other side, there's ritual and tradition and doesn't want anything to do with the things of God. Sacrifice is something that you and I need to learn. when I my honey, I met her in 1971. My honey. When we first met, I couldn't believe a person would look at me and appreciate or like what I look like. Because I had an inferiority complex. When I was growing up, 8, 9, 10, my face used to be shiny from my nose. My arms, all the way to my fingertips. Shiny. What they call it? Artesian well within me. So I was shiny all the time. And people used to laugh and make fun of me and just, what an ugly looking kid, you know. And one day my brother put a bowl on top of my head and shaved everything. Shaved everything. And then it grew. Oh, my goodness. One time I was running with my dad's hip boots and almost tripped, and these two old guys looked at me and started laughing and calling me names. So I grew up fearful, abused, and I was deathly scared of white people. So I grew up scared, and so when my wife looked at me and smiled and with a twinkle in her eye, it affected me really, really did. I was a junior in high school. And from the time we met and were introduced to each other, when I wake up in the morning, guess who I thought about? I'd wake up in the morning, I'd clean up my room real fast and run down to the chow hall in Mount Edgecombe. And I'd wait for her. Girls would come by and I'd just wait for her. And as soon as she came, soon as she appeared, I'd go out there and put my arm around and we'd go to chow. Breakfast. We'd go to lunch. We'd go to supper. In fact, times I'd run out when the soon as the bell rang for this period to be over, I'd run as fast as I could to where she, her class was and walk her over to her next class. And then run real crazy, run back to my class. Oh, man, I was. Woo! That's how Jesus wants us. That's how Jesus wants us. Every moment of the time, just, oh, Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You've blessed me. You've filled me. Thank you, Jesus. Everything about the Lord. That's the desire of God's heart for us when he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Oh, my goodness. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You love us so, so, so much. And Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. We want you, Lord. We want you. We want you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Wonderful God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Matthew 25:32, God says that in the last days, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. In the spectrum of life as a child of God, there are two scriptures that we need to put in our hearts. Proverbs 24:10. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you fail in the day of adversity, your strength is small. In other words, if you're easily offended, you're very weak. All somebody has to do is look at you the wrong way and ruin your whole day. That's where you are, Proverbs 24:10. Okay? The other portion of scripture, the other end of that spectrum, is Psalm 119:165. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. That's where Jesus and Stephen would look at the people that were crucifying him and stoning him. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you knew what you were doing in the things of God, you would not dare say a word against a brother or a sister, especially a minister of God's word or a leader in a position. Because God has put them there. We have a lot to repent about, don't we? We're to lift them up in prayer. Remember, Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Bless and do not curse. Oh, my. Wash my mouth out, Lord Jesus, with your blood. Cleanse me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is what your life is like if you're still living in Egypt. You're living for God by your physical senses. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The world's appetites control your every move, and you cannot help but obey because you're a slave. Romans 6:16-23 says, you say and do whatever you feel like and cannot help but obey your master. You may be very religious and call yourself a Christian, but you're controlled by ritual and form. There is little or no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no time for or are unable to read, comprehend, obey, and learn from God's word. In Egypt, you're living in deception. Slavery, apostasy, traditions and laws of man, or denominations in Egypt supersede the word of God. That's what it's like to be a slave. In Isaiah 30 and Isaiah 31, we're warned not to go back or down to Egypt ever. Don't go back to Egypt and trust in man or the things of this world. So when does God deliver his children from Egypt? When you get so sick and tired of your slavery that you cry to the Lord in anguish. How does God deliver his children from Egypt? You have to eat and accept Jesus, the blood sacrifice, Passover lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, wonderful God. He's the Passover lamb. And they had to eat the Passover lamb. Jesus, and go through the blood. Hallelujah. Then Moses led them in the wilderness and brought them to the Red Sea. The word of God in 1 Corinthians 10 said they were baptized into the Red Sea. Baptism is important. Jesus said, go ye into all the world, teaching, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now listen, baptism, why is it important? It's important because you need to let yourself know and the world know that you have made a decision for Jesus. Though baptism does not save you, you need to know your old man is dead. And consider it dead. Don't let it come alive. In too many of God's people right now, the baptism that you've experienced doesn't really mean anything. In many denominations, baptism is done at birth. So it doesn't mean anything. It's there for you to know what you came out of. You're dead to the world. Egypt is no more, has power over you. You're living a new life in Christ. That's what baptism is. That's what it represents. Hallelujah. In the wilderness, say wilderness. In the wilderness, what is God's people like? God's people are immature. They're carnal. They're still God's people. Amen. And they're led by God. Amen. This is what your life is like if you're in the wilderness. Your mind longingly remembers and desires to be back in Egypt. In the wilderness, the pleasures of the world still have a stronghold on you. Living for Jesus is so hard in the wilderness. You know why it's so hard living for Jesus? Because you're not loving. If you love, just like the way that I fell in love, and now I love Jesus, nobody else matters. Nothing else matters. The world doesn't matter. Because Jesus, oh Jesus, the world does not matter when you fall in love with Jesus. So every waking moment of your life, from the time you wake up in the morning till the time you fall asleep, start telling yourself, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. And you keep saying it. You keep saying it. Has nothing to do with your feeling. Has nothing to do with your feeling. Has everything to do with choice. I choose. Has everything to do with choice. Otherwise, if you don't live this way, as I'm describing, the pull of the world will have a hold on you. In Egypt, in the wilderness, the pleasures of the world still have a stronghold on you. You have no real desire to grow in the Lord, and you have a hard time digesting meat. Spiritual development. You are only satisfied with milk. Even though the manifest presence of God was with them, pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, the miracles of water, manna, quail, the giving of the law, their clothes not wearing out, the tabernacle, divine protection, and on they continued to complain and even made for themselves an idol. right when Moses was up in the presence of the Lord. God became angry and wanted to destroy them. Moses interceded for them. When they got to the Jordan River, Moses sent out 12 men to spy out the land, and they were gone for 40 days. And because of what these 10 men reported, God's people refused to go into the promised land. Why? Because they feared men more than God. So God let them wander in the wilderness for how long? 40 years. Imagine that. A year for a day that the spies were in there looking. I don't know if that's what happened, but that's what God did. So the people that refused, anybody that was 20 or over, died in the wilderness because God was not happy with them. What is God telling us? He wants us to get to a certain place in our lives individually and collectively before we're able to go into the promised land. Okay? He wants us to trust him with all our hearts. Lean not on our own understanding, and in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will guide our steps. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Too many times we hold ourselves back. How many of you guys got freaked out when all of a sudden everybody started shouting at the same time? Ah! Where is God going to lead you? These guys are crazy. I don't know if I want to believe this, you know. But the more we let go of the things that hinder our walk with God of the flesh, and more free to dance, to worship, to praise, to shout, to sing. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, wonderful God, wonderful Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The more you let go of your flesh and your inhibitions and everything that is a hindrance in your relationship with God, the more free you are, because Jesus, the truth, will set you free. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wherever he leads us in our spiritual journey may seem impossible, but with him, all things are possible. Praise God. Jesus said to him, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. He wants us, he wants all things of Egypt to be removed from us. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We need to examine ourselves constantly. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things to us constantly. Because if there is anything of the flesh in you, that is a hindrance. It's always going to be a snare. See, in the promised land, they got to the Jordan River. Finally, after 40 years, they got to the Jordan River, and they had to cross the river. Just like they crossed the Red Sea, they crossed the river. What does that signify? The second baptism. The second baptism. The Acts, the book of Acts, baptism. It's so important. I know there may be some in the promised land that have not been baptized. There may be some. But God says for us to go across in the promised land. Those people that were born in the promised land, how many of you are PKs? You're born in the promised land. Okay? And yet, there are still issues in the promised land. There are still things that are hindrances in your walk with God in the promised land. So what does the Spirit of God told me, I feel, and I believe that it's not unscriptural, that Egypt is the flesh. That the wilderness is your soul, soulish man. And your spirit is that promised land. Your spirit man. There's things in you that need to be taken care of if you're walking in the things of God. Otherwise, you're going to be controlled by your soul. Your soul is the soulish man is carnal. And it's an enemy of God. Same with the body. So the appetites of the body, the appetites of the soulish man are just totally against the things of God. Therefore, you cannot say what you want to say. You cannot do what you want to do. You cannot go where you want to go. You cannot be what you want to be. You've got to surrender because you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. The reason why your soul and your flesh, the reason why you've been so ineffective in the things of God is because of just that. Okay? In the promised land, God's people learn to do battle. After 40 years in the wilderness, they came back to the banks of the Jordan River. They experienced their second baptism in the Jordan River. This baptism is likened to John's, the Baptist confession of Jesus, that he would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire, which manifests in the book of Acts account after Jesus' ascension. The whole seventh chapter of Deuteronomy, talks about how we are to live in the promised land. Okay? In verse 1 it says, possess and cast out nations. Verse 2 says, conquer and utterly destroy them and make no covenant with them nor show mercy to them. In your spirit, man, surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot feel sorry for your needs and desires. You cannot. You've got to destroy everything that is a hindrance in your relationship with God. Why do you suppose that Jesus had to, listen. In verse 16 it says, destroy everyone. Have no pity on them. Do not bow to their idols or you'll be snared. Verse 22 says, the land will be conquered little by little, lest the beasts become too numerous. In my walk with God, I was up several times. It happened several times, not just once. Thank you, Jesus. I'd get the anointing of God. And the anointing of God upon me would be so strong as I'm singing, as I'm praising, as I'm worshiping. All I needed to do was walk by somebody and they'd crumble. The presence and the power of God become so strong. All I needed to do was be by somebody and they could feel it. And they could feel that. They'd fall down and crumble. And those times, it it would hit my head. It would go to me. I'd get a big head. And guess what? Is God going to allow you to walk around with a big head? No, he's not. He's going to take that little carpet you're standing on and you're having a good time on, and he's going to pull it out of you. And when he does, you're going to cry. You're going to cry. You're going to cry. You're going to cry. I've experienced that so many times. And I say, God, don't let me. Don't watch me. I don't want to misuse your blessing. I don't want to misuse your presence. I want you, Jesus. I want you, Jesus. I know without you I am absolutely nothing. And let me tell you what God has showed me. Remember in Isaiah 61 where it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Jesus quoted that in where Luke. And what I thought was this, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me. You know what it's saying? Jesus quoted that word about himself. And Jesus is in me. And it's not me that is anointed. It's Jesus that's anointed in me. And Jesus is the one that heals and sets free and delivers. Jesus is the one. I have nothing to do with it. I am a vessel. Jesus in me. Jesus in me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we have a bent towards sin. We're born in iniquity, and in sin we've been conceived. So we have issues, every one of us. And God's word says we're going to conquer this land little by little. Come on. We're going to conquer this land little by little. You're not going to suddenly become a holy man. Oh, my. Jesus is going to allow you to grow little by little. And if you're trying to grow like how I grew, he's going to have to lovingly take that carpet out from under you. In Numbers 15:39, it says, you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined. Right. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. What is the worst possible thing that can happen to a married couple? Adultery. Many, many, many marriages are broken and separated because of adultery. For those that are not married, it's fornication. Being intimate with someone that you should not be intimate with. Many homes, many children have been torn apart. How does Jesus feel when you commit harlotry against him? Your attitude, what you say, how you live, the sins that you allow yourself to fall into. Jesus constantly called his children adulterers and harlots. mercy, Lord. Thank you for the blessing, Lord, of sin. Thank you for this blessing, Lord, of sin. Thank you, Jesus. He's saying, that we have an inclination to compromise. That's natural to our humanity. In 1 Samuel 12 and 20, and Samuel said to the people, "Fear not, you have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord." Don't give up. Don't give up. Serve Jesus. You've fallen down. You've hurt. You can get up, brush yourself off, and say, "Jesus, oh Jesus, I am yours." The reason why you know you can is because you're still breathing. As long as you're breathing, the mercy of God is extended towards you. Praise God. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12, it reads like this: "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning." And finally, in Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Thank you, Jesus. God has blessed you. I'd like my brother to come up right here. Stand. Everybody stand. Stand. Turn right there. This way. This way. You know what? One lady, I was down in L.A. I want you to put your left hand up. Your right hand on your belly. And it went like this. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You know what she did? She went, "Look at me. Look at me. Everybody look at me." She went, "Fire in the hole! Fire in the hole!" Amen. We need the fire of God. And where does it come from? Out of your belly shall flow a river. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God for you. Woo! Oh, my. Oh, my. Praise God. I need God now more than ever. You need God? The altar's open. Just come. Spend time with the Lord. God has spoken to you this evening. God has touched you. God has blessed you with the blessing of conviction of sin. Come and bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. This is not about denominations. This is not about religion. It's you desiring to develop a relationship with Jesus even greater than what you have had in the past. You want Jesus. Come. Come. Jesus, come. Come.